It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday the 9th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Last week, Federal Communications Commissioner Tom Wheeler chose to reclassify internet providers as public utilities under what's called Title II. The FCC still has to vote to make this official in a few weeks, and Congress may yet deliver legislation to the president that could impact the commission's move. But big companies are already preparing their lawsuits. Harvard's Berkman Center co-founder Jonathan Zittrain joins me to talk about what comes next. Jonathan, good to have you back.
Great to be here, Ben.
What does the FCC now face in the courts? How might Title II be eroded or attacked by some of the companies that are already saying they're going to sue?
Well, to understand that, it's important to know that when we say something like Title II, here it is functioning as what we would call a source of authority. The Federal Communications Commission can only regulate in certain ways, and for them to regulate the practices of an internet service provider, they need to cite to a source of authority. And previously, they had cited as a source of authority Title I, and that was challenged by Verizon. And oddly, by winning, it's now putting the commission kind of back to double or nothing. And now they've chosen double by moving to Title II.
Here's the question, though. Will double work?
From what the D.C. Circuit said in disconnecting Title I from this, they actually said, you know, one of the reasons this doesn't work under Title I is it sure sounds like a Title II kind of thing. So if I'm a lawyer at Verizon right now, which I emphatically am not, I've got nothing to lose. Might as well put this into the court, spend some money on trying to achieve some kind of settlement or modification of the rule. I'll also be eyeing the Congress and trying to see if I can get allies in the Congress to somehow pressure the FCC.
Once again, it's all about the future. And I have noticed that a lot of people seem concerned about how Title II might be affected somehow by future federal communications commissions and future Congresses and presidents.
I think there has been great care taken now for the commission to signal, first, Title II was a last resort. Like, thanks, Verizon, you put us here, now we're doing it.
Right.
And second, it's still a bit of a menu where you can pick from column A and pick from column B, and we are taking off the table other features that we might be able to claim with that authority, like rate regulation of internet service providers. Now, could the commission come along later and do it? Sure, but they could have done it at any time by reclassifying and then going all the way.
Our friend Jonathan Zittrain at Harvard. Jonathan, thanks.
Thank you, Ben.
We're still learning a lot about how a majority of users interact with their personal technology. There are a growing number of devices, though, as well as apps, that target groups with very specific needs. One of those groups is people who are blind. A new app called Be My Eyes wants to allow users who are visually impaired to connect with those who aren't, in the hopes of helping to offer clarity on important visual information people need to access every day. Eliza Cooper is a social media consultant. She's also been blind since childhood. We asked Eliza to try out the Be My Eyes app. Hi, Eliza. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
What did you think? How did it go?
I think it's a really interesting app, and I think it's an important addition to what is kind of a small variety of apps that do a similar thing. So I chose to identify a carton of milk. I wanted to know what the expiration date was. And the first person who connected with me, it was her first time using the app as well.
Did you accomplish your task?
We did. I didn't know where the expiration date usually is. So she got her carton of milk and looked at it on hers so she could tell me where to aim it and told me to turn the carton around, and then she was able to read it.
What was it like talking to a stranger and having them go through something with you that I would imagine is sort of an intimate experience?
it was kind of cool to talk to someone new, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I chose not to ask her her name, and she didn't ask me for anything. So I felt good about not having any pressure to identify anything more than I wanted to.
I feel like a lot of people have this relationship with technology where they kind of distrust it, or they feel like it has this scary edge to it.
I think what made me nervous with this app was not the technology itself, but the people on the other end. You know, it may be someone who is lonely and just wants a connection, and they choose to use this app. And that makes me nervous. But the fact that I can be similarly anonymous was what encouraged me to try it.
Is there a piece of technology that you wish you had?
I don't really think of it that way. There's been so much work, even in the last 2 years, on new apps for the visually impaired.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I find a new app like this, which is building on apps that are already out there, I get excited about the diversification of this type of tool. And it's great to see that people are being really innovative in this space.
Eliza Cooper is a social media consultant who has been blind since childhood. We asked her to try out the Be My Eyes app. Eliza, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
So one other thing we learned from having Eliza with us was how people with visual impairment issues interface with a phone that's all screen and no buttons. The answer is sound and touch. And man, she is fast. Here's an example of her using her phone.
Page 3 of 3. Poetry. And Be My Eyes. Double tap to open. Be My Eyes. Connect to first available hover.
If you want to learn more about the Be My Eyes app, visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.